नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम। दिस इज 11th कैंटो चैप्टर 2। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड महाराज निमी मीट्स द 9 योगेंद्रस। टेक्स्ट नंबर 20। नव अभवन महाभागा मुनयो हि अर्थसंशिनः श्रमणा वातरसना आत्मा विद्या विशारदा कवीर ओके सॉरी नवाभवन महाभागा मुनयो हि अर्थसंशिनः श्रमणावातरसना आत्मविद्या विशारदा नवाभवन महाभागा मुनयो हि अर्थसंशिनः श्रमणावातरसना आत्मविद्या विशारदा नवाभवन महाभागा मुनयो हि अर्थसंशिनः श्रमणावातरसना आत्मविद्या विशारदा विद्या विशारदा नवाभवन महाभाग न हि अर्थसंशिना शमनावातरसना आत्मविद्या मतजी नवाभवन महाभागा मुनयो हि अर्थसंशिनः शमनावातरसना आत्मविद्या विशारदा व्हाट वर्ड मीनिंग नव 9 अभवन देर वेर महाभागा ग्रेटली फॉर्चुनेट सोल्स मुनया सेजेस ही इंडीड अर्थसंशिनः एंगेज्ड इन एक्सप्लेनिंग द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ श्रमणा दस एक्सर्टिंग ग्रेट एंडेवर वातरसना dressed by the wind naked. Atmavidya in spiritual science. Visharada learned. There is one more verse along with this verse which is not written here. I will recite this verse. Kavir Havir Antariksha Prabuddha Pipalayana Avir Hotrotha Drumilash Chamasa Karabhajana. So this is about the names of the nine sages mentioned here. Translation purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The nine remaining sons of Rishabha were greatly fortunate sages who worked vigorously to spread knowledge of the Absolute Truth. They wandered about naked and were very well versed in spiritual science. Their names were Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabhuddha, Pipalayan, Avir Hotra, Drumila, Chamasa and Karabhajana. Purport. Nimi, the king of Videha, asked the following nine questions of the nine Yogendras, the saintly sons of Rishabh. Question number 1. What is the highest good? Chapter 2, verse 30. This question is quoted. Second question, what are the religious principles, dharma, natural proclivities, swabhava, behavior, achara, speech, vakya, and outward symptoms, lakshana of a Bhagavat, a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord? This is in chapter 2, 44th verse. Third question, what is the external energy of Vishnu, the Supreme Lord? 3.1. Fourth question, how can one become dissociated from this Maya? 3.17. Fifth question, what is the true identity of Brahman? 3.34. Sixth question, what are the three types of karma, namely karma based on the enjoyment of fruits of work, karma offered to the Supreme Lord, and Naishkarmiya? 3.41. Seventh question, what are the various pastimes of the various incarnations of God? 4.1. Eighth question, what is the aim or destination of one who is against the Supreme Lord and devoid of bhakti, in other words, a non-devotee? 5.1. And the ninth question is, what are the respective colors, forms and names of four Yuga avatars, the four incarnations of Supreme Lord, who appear in the four ages, and what is the process of worshipping each of them? 5.19. The transcendental answers to these inquiries were given by the great devotees Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalayan, Avir Hotra, Drumila, Chamasa and Karabhajana. These nine Paramahansas answered the nine questions each in turn in the following verses. First question was answered in 2.33 and 2.43. Second question was answered in 2.45 to 55. Third question was answered in 3.3 to 16. Fourth was answered in 3.18 through 33. Fifth was answered in 3.35 to 40. Sixth was answered in 3.43 to 55. 7th was answered in 4.2 to 23, 8th was answered in 5.2 through 18, and 9th was answered in 5.22-42. Hare Krishna. Unique purport. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Kadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज फॉर मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास टुडे ऑन संडे। वी आर नाउ डिस्कसिंग द चैप्टर विच बिगिन्स द ब्यूटिफुल डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ महाराज नीमी एंड द नाइन योगेंद्रस। This is one of the very important and very beautiful, well-known section of the Bhagavatam, 11th canto. And it has begun because Narad Muni has taken Vasudev on this journey. As we all know, previous Sunday when we had a discussion here, then that time it is mentioned that Vasudev was in Dwarka and Narad Muni happened to come to Dwarka. So Vasudev took advantage of asking queries, questions to Narad Muni. And that one question, the answer to that one question which Vasudev has asked, has led to now nine questions being asked. So this is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is not limited, it is unlimited. There are so many questions and answers in Srimad Bhagavatam. And many times we have seen in the class that some devotee, the whole audience may not be either qualified or may not have that feeling of asking a question to the speaker. But definitely when a question is asked, the whole audience gets benefited. And many times we feel, ye mera bhi prashna tha, this is also my question. So here we can see that how Narad Muni has taken from one question and is expanded into nine questions. That's how a Bhagavatam preacher is. He doesn't cut shorts. Of course, we have to cut short. I will definitely end on time. So here in the series of Bhagavatam verses which we are seeing, Narad Muni has begun his answering to Vasudev by citing an example of Maharaj Rishabhdev and his whole dynasty, especially his big family. Rishabhdev had 100 sons. And then from that, Navayogendras, and now Navayogendras are meeting Nimi Maharaj. So, we find always in pages of Bhagavatam, many times we find great kings or even Lord has a very big family. So, like at least being brainwashed in India with a lot of so-called medical facts, for many years in India it is like that, you know, chota parivar, sukhi parivar. I'm not sure whether it's really like that, you know, chota parivar, sukhi parivar, hai ki nahi pata nahi mujhe, I don't know. But here we find bada parivar is sukhi parivar. That is definitely no doubt about it. That even bada parivar can also be sukhi parivar. Big family can also be happy family. Krishna had how many family members? His immediate family? 16,108 queens only. And each queen had 10 sons and one daughter. So that becomes, now you can count, I'm not going to ask. And then each of them had so many teachers to teach them. That's only Krishna's palace. So Dwarka had 900,000 palaces only. 9 lakh is a very famous number because Krishna had Nanda Maharaj had 9 lakh cows. And Krishna and Dwarka had 9 lakh palaces. And each palace was huge and filled with family members, not empty. Sometimes there are big houses and only one person is staying and 5 dogs. But here Krishna's family was big. So bada parivar is also sukhi parivar. But then that parivar should have something. It cannot be just like a number, you know. Beyond 10, if you have parivar, then automatically you become sukhi. Less than 1, there is no geometry in that. One time Srila Prabhupada was mentioning this nice point that he was asking his disciples that the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, they had no family and they were so happy. They had no family, they were in Vrindavan and they were so happy. So everyone thought Prabhupada is making a point that how family life is so difficult and miserable. But then immediately Prabhupada said, you know, Bhakti Vinod Thakur had big family. How many sons? 10. And then he mentioned, he was happy. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was happy. And Prabhupada mentions, family and no family has no connection with happiness. Happiness comes from Krishna consciousness. So when you are Krishna consciousness, happiness will come. So chota parivar or bada parivar or no parivar doesn't make one happy. Happiness comes from Krishna consciousness. So here we find the whole family of Rishabhdev was happy because they were Krishna conscious. So here now we are going to see about a wonderful family of Rishabhdev. We'll discuss today on Rishabhdev's family. Then we'll discuss also on Nimi Maharaj's family. And then we'll discuss on Nimi Maharaj meeting Navayogendras. And we'll see if time permits, we'll go on. So Rishabhdev had 100 sons. Now, this 100 word is many times heard in Shastra. One more family had 100 sons. Am I right? Famous family. Dhritarashtra's family, 100 sons. But this family is well known. And that is also well known, but ill known. So what is the difference between Rishabhdev's family and Dhritarashtra's family? Rishabhdev's family was Krishna conscious. Dhritarashtra's family was materialist. And Rishabhdev's eldest son was Bharat Maharaj, who made the Bharat Varsh glorious. And Dhritarashtra's eldest son was Duryodhan, who made Bharat Varsh not so glorious. Actually, he is one of the... we can mention that because of him, the Hastinapur Rajya was like in doldrums because of his greediness. So there are 100 sons of Rishabhdev, 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. In fact, Duryodhan was the eldest son. He was a great materialistic person, unlike Bharat Maharaj. It is mentioned he never ever counted Krishna in his life or even in others' life. Like the great episode came when Kurukshetra battle was inevitable and everyone was trying to get people for their camp, and Pandavas and Kauravas were thinking that Krishna should be in their camp, and the famous thing of Krishna is taking rest and Duryodhan comes first and he sees Krishna is resting. So at least he had that little etiquette that he should not wake up Krishna. So he wanted to wait for some time. So he went and sat near Krishna's pillow. Bhagavan ke sir pe aake baith gaya wo. So then later Arjuna comes and he also sees Krishna is taking rest. So he sits near Krishna's lotus feet. That's where devotee is always. And Krishna wakes up and first he sees whom? Arjuna. So he says, Arjuna, yes, what do you want? And Duryodhana says, oh, I came first. So Krishna says, oh, how can I know who came first? No, because I saw him first. And because he is younger to you, please let him ask. So then he asks, no, we want you to come to our join our army. So Krishna makes a proposal, either me without any weapons or my whole army, Narayani Sena. So Duryodhana is like thinking, oh, I'm going to lose this now. And Arjuna asks that I want Krishna. And Duryodhana is thinking inside, oh, he's such a fool number one, you know, that he's asking Krishna who's not going to fight at all. What is the use of this Krishna? Better ask Krishna's army, you're a big number, you know. But he has to show that he is very political, so he said, okay, whatever Arjuna has asked, he is my younger brother, you know, I have to agree with that, I am happy whatever comes my way. So Duryodhana goes away and Krishna asks Arjuna, oh, why you choose me? I am not going to do anything. So wherever you are, everything comes there, you know. So we want Krishna, we don't want anything, we don't even want Krishna's opulence, we want Krishna. So Duryodhana was like that person, he never counted. The first chapter of Bhagavad Gita begins, which mentions that there is an erection observing the armies. Who is observing the armies? Duryodhana is observing the armies. And it is reported to Dhritarashtra. So Duryodhana, he is a little worried because he suddenly sees a huge army which Pandavas have amassed. He thought only 5 Pandavas and few people will come on the battle. But he saw 11 Akshonis compared to his 18 Akshonis. So little dejected, little afraid, but he cannot show that fear. So he is like going to his general and he is saying, just see who are in their army and in our army. And there is a fleet of names, he quotes, you know, who is in the army of Pandavas and who is in my army. So in that whole name of list which he quotes for the armies of Pandavas, he tells everyone in the army of Pandavas except Krishna's name. And that is the main person there. He forgot Krishna's name because he never counted. And that person, Krishna, made the difference. So that is the difference between a materialistic person who never counts God in his life and a devotee. A devotee may be humble, may not be having facilities, but he always depends on Krishna. Whereas a materialistic person, he may have everything, doesn't depend on Krishna and therefore is still hankering. So the family of Rishabhdev is a family of devotees. Let's go back to 5th canto of Bhagavatam. In 5th canto of Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that Priyavrat Maharaj, in his family lineage, great Vaishnavas were born. So Priyavrat Maharaj, his son was Agnidra, and Agnidra had 9 sons. And one of that 9 sons was Nabhi. So this Nabhi got married to Meru Devi, and Nabhi was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Meru also was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. But for some reason, they did not have children. So inspired by the great sages, they performed a yajna. And in that yajna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan himself appeared and asked, what do you want? And taking the full advantage, you know, if you have a devotee is like that, you know, when he gets the advantage, he takes the full advantage. So he thinks, why ask for just a son, you know? So he asks, can I get a son like you? And Lord says, well, there is no one like me, so I will come. And answer to his prayers, then Lord Rishabhdev appears as the son of Nabhi and Meru Devi. Now this Rishabhdev, when he is born, all auspicious signs are seen all over the world. In fact, it is mentioned, just in his teenage, Rishabhdev tells his father to start some yajnas. So seeing those yajnas, Indra becomes very much worried. So he stops his rain showers. So for many, many months there are no rains in the land, in the kingdom of Nabhi and Meru. So then he's worried. Rishabhdev says, don't worry. Then by his own potency, Rishabhdev calls the clouds and there's a rainfall in the whole kingdom of Nabhi. So then Nabhi immediately understands that definitely he's Supreme Personality of God, but now I'm seeing he is very competent. So at a very tender age, Nabhi makes Rishabhdev the king, and then he and his wife go to Badrika Ashram and spend their vanaprastha there. And then Rishabhdev becomes a young king, and then he rules the entire tract of the earth planet. So this, in due course of time, Rishabhdev, he marries Jayanti. Indra, he learns his lesson, and then he offers his daughter Jayanti to Rishabhdev. So Rishabhdev marries Jayanti, and through this family combination, 100 children are born. So Bhagavatam 5th canto, and also here in this previous verses it is mentioned, who are these 100 sons? It is mentioned in 9th canto which is full of just names of descendants of so many great people, you know. So mentions that even by hearing the names of the descendants, one gets purified and one gets unalloyed pure devotional service. So there are 100 sons of Rishabhdev, and it is mentioned the most important or the eldest one is Bharat Maharaj, who is famous. And after that, it is mentioned there are 9 great sages, 9 sons who became great sages. And they are mentioned today's verse. Who are they? Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Vipalayan, Avirhotra, Drumila, Chamasa and Karabhajana. So that is 9 plus 1, 10. And then it mentions the other, where 81 plus 9. It becomes 100. That means 81 well-behaved Brahmanical sons. So, Prabhupada says in the purport, they were well-behaved, well-cultured, very pure, expert in Vedic rituals and yagyas. And Prabhupada means this is Varnashram. In Varnashram, everything, one person is qualified based on guna and karma, not by birth. So, Rishabhdev is a king and his sons, 1 plus the total 9 sons are 9 rulers, Kshatriyas. And remaining 81, it is mentioned, they are who? They are Brahmanas. And there are 9 king and 1 Bharat is 10. And then there are 9 sages and there are 81 Brahmanas. So Prabhupada says, see this family life. There is not like complete thing where all 100 become king. 81 have become Brahmanas, 10 have become king, and 9 have become Paramahansas, beyond Varnashram. And that is this great dynasty which is being discussed here in this case. So, it is mentioned that Rishabhdev, he was such a powerful king that during his reign, there was no problem. All the citizens, they were never experiencing any misery of this material world. But this Rishabhdev, in spite of all that great kingdom, great sovereignty he had, he retired on time. So through Srimad Bhagavatam we learn that how everyone retires on time, because that's how the flow happens. So the next person comes in, and then he, when he is powerful, when he is young, he can execute the kingly duties. So Rishabhdev, before he retires, he takes all of his sons for a yatra to Brahmavart Varsha. And there, it is mentioned, he instructs his 100 sons. So the 5th canto, 5th chapter describes the instructions of Rishabhdev to his sons. Now this 5th chapter is so important that Srila Prabhupada has often quoted these verses in his regular discourses and also in his books. Rishabhdev gives perfect addresses, perfect knowledge to all of his sons, and Prabhupada says, actually he is addressing to all of us. How to lead one's life in spirituality in this material world. And the famous verse, he begins with, Nayam deho deho bhajam driloke, kashtan kaman arhati vidbhujamye, tapo divyam putraka ena sattvam, shuddye desmad brahma sokhyam tonantam, tapo divyam putraka ena sattvam. This human form of life is meant for tapasya, austerity. Nayam deho deha bhajam, not for kashtan kaman. This human form of life is not for working hard throughout your life. It is meant for austerity and penance to realize Krishna consciousness, to realize God. That's how he begins his instructions to his sons. And then he mentions in this particular section that one can realize this by mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktes. One has to take shelter of great devotees. So there are 27 verses which Rishabhdev gives to his sons as part of his instruction. And after finishing those instructions, Rishabhdev, he retires and immediately makes Bharat Maharaj the king. So Prabhupada says, Bharat Maharaj became such a powerful king that the whole Varsha became known as Bharat Varsha because of him. And then this Bharat Maharaj, then the 5th canto mentions about Bharat Maharaj. That how Bharat Maharaj is such a wonderful king, and then he retired on time, and then he went to the river Gandaki, and then for some reason he got attached to deer, and then you have to take one more birth as a deer, and then later as Jadabharat. So the whole family is so Krishna conscious, amazing family of Rishabhdev. So Bharat Maharaj, and now here we are discussing on Navayogendras. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami, while discussing about Rishabhdev's family, he tells Parikshit Maharaj that I have told you about the 81 sons, I have told you also about the 9 ruler kings and also Bharat Maharaj in this canto. But for Navayogendras, I will make you wait. Later I will tell you. So now this is the connection. So after 5th canto, the 11th canto is opened up here. And now Parikshit Maharaj is being told by Shukdev Goswami about this 9 Yogendras and what they are doing. And these 9 Yogendras have come to the palace of Nimi Maharaj. So it is mentioned this, who is Nimi Maharaj? Because if Nava Yogendras, 9 great souls are going to someone's palace, must be a highly fortunate person. And it is not like a pre-invited, it is just a tithi. Without him knowing, suddenly in his palace, suddenly these 9 great souls have come. So it is mentioned, Nimi Maharaj also is a powerful great king, Raja Rishi. In fact, in 9th canto of Bhagavatam, 1 chapter is dedicated to Nimi Maharaj's descendants. His family of Nimi Maharaj, chapter is entitled 9th canto. So he is also a great soul, where the great Navayogendras have come. And it is mentioned in the 9th canto that Nimi Maharaj, in spite of his great fortune, came across an unfortunate incident in his life. But he made that unfortunate incident into also great fortune. That's a great devotee. A great devotee is tested when problems come in his life. So Nimi Maharaj had great lineage, great fatherhood and great ruling. But when the problem came, how he dealt with? It is mentioned Nimi Maharaj was constantly thinking about doing good for his people. So he decided to do yajna. So for the yajna he was told you should invite Vasishtha to your kingdom. So he went to Vasishtha to invite him as a main priest. Now Vasishtha, he was, he immediately mentioned that definitely I want to come. Right now I am going on an invitation for another yajna to Indra. And within his mind, Vasishtha was thinking that such a great king has come, I should not refuse him. So he said, I am going to Indra, he mentioned to him like that. And then he went ahead and he went to do yajna for Indra. Now meanwhile, Nimi Maharaj also was thinking in his mind that he is a great sage, Vasishtha. We really want him to do yajna. But he has gone to which planet? The heavenly planet, to do yajna for Indra. Now in heavenly planet, the time duration is completely different. How much time that will take for him to finish the yajna? That time comes back, no one will remain here, you know. So he is calculating, if he comes late, then I will not able to wait for him so long. So his mind is thinking, you know, let me go to some other sage, invite him. So in the mind there is this happening, you know. In the mind, Vasishtha is thinking, I will come back and serve him. In the mind, Nimi Maharaj is thinking that maybe not him, some other person. Two great Vaishnavas, two great personalities have a problem because they thought in the mind. They did not communicate. So don't think communication is only for outsiders. Communication is important even for inside devotees. Because if you don't communicate, people assume things. And when assumptions come, what happened? Then all the difficulties come because assumptions can go to any directions. So communication has to be very clear amongst devotees. So Vasishtha went on his way to do Indra Yajna. Meanwhile, Nimi Maharaj invites Gautam Rishi and starts his Yajna. So while doing Yajna to Indra, Vasishtha is also aware, you know, I have to go back to, he is waiting for me. So he finishes the Yajna quickly and comes back. When he comes to the earth planet, he sees the Yajna is already going on and Gautam Rishi is there. And that creates anger in the mind of Vasishtha Muni. Such an anger, propelled by Krishna's potency, he announces a curse. What happens is, he comes to the yajna, he says everything is already going on, the yajna is arranged and things are moving on, number of days have already passed, and then he goes to meet Nimi Maharaj, Nimi Maharaj is taking rest, so all that thing comes up and he immediately curses, that Nimi Maharaj, immediately you leave your body. And Nimi Maharaj, while sleeping, he leaves his body. But because such a great Vaishnava, It is not like ordinary death. So he wakes up, he is bodiless. He is not died, he is not dead, he is bodiless. And he sees people around him crying, you know, that king has disappeared, king has gone. So then he, with his power, he understands what is the problem. And then he recollects that this has all happened because Vasishtha has cursed him. So there is a lot of cursing and counter-cursing in that whole incident. But the point is that later the citizens of the kingdom, they carry on this yajna. And when the yajna is over, when Lord appears, all the citizens, they ask the Lord, kindly make our king come back to his body. Because they had all preserved his body in a body of oil, you know, in the tank of oil. So immediately the Lord says, yes, it can be done. But as soon as Nimi Maharaj, as soon as he comes to know that he has to come inside the body again, he pleads Lord Vishnu that already I have given him this body, why don't I continue my journey ahead? And then Nimi Maharaj goes home back to Godhead. So he has all ideas to come back, but he doesn't. He goes ahead and performs his next activity. He was already relieved from the material world, already halfway through. Why to come back? So now Nimi Maharaj has gone back to Godhead, and now things are still going wrong here because there is no king. So this powerful body of Nimi Maharaj is then churned. And from that churning, a great son is born. And because that son is born in a unique way, his name is called as Janak. Because he is Jana, he is born, but in a unique way. And because he is born from a body, Deha, he becomes Vaideha. And because the body was churned, Mithila, so he becomes Mithila. And this great king, he establishes the kingdom of Mithila, Videha, and is called Janak. And in that whole family, there are so many Janaks coming. Down the line, the same family, Janak Maharaj appears, and that same Janak Maharaj is the father of Sita Devi. We have Ram Navami coming now. Same family again. All the kings were called as Janak Maharaj in that kingdom. So in that family later, during Krishna's reign, there was Bahulashva Raja, king, where Lord Krishna went and met Bahulashva. Great devotees in the whole kingdom. So this is Nimi Maharaj, in his whose kingdom the Navayogendras have come. So here we can see that how there is a great combination of a great grahastha and great vairagis. The vairagis are coming to the house of a grahastha, and how the grahastha devotee is interacting is a great science to learn between them. I was hearing a lecture of Radha Gopinath Prabhu. He was mentioning a very nice point. He had heard from Pejavar Swami. He was mentioning Varnashram is a unique system where there is cooperation. Its interdependency is there in the ashrams. So he was mentioning that there are four ashrams, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. Only one ashram is earning livelihood. And the other three ashrams are depending on the one ashram for their maintenance. Meanwhile, those who are earning livelihood, they are not just giving, they are also receiving. They receive spiritual credits from the other three ashram. So he was quoting an example that he was mentioning that grahastha ashram is like, devotees in grahastha are like a talav, a pond. And the vairagis are like fish in the pond. So the fish keep the pond clean, and the fishes are there because the pond is there. So the unique combination, how there is interdependency. So in this case here, we can see that how the nine Yogendras and Nimi Maharaj, when they interact, there is no sense of pride in that I am better than you. The sense of understanding is that we are interdependent. So the nine Yogendras have come to the kingdom of Nimi Maharaj. And it is said here that Nimi Maharaj heartily welcomes them. And then there is a series of questions and answers. Now Nimi Maharaj is thinking, there are nine great devotees have come to my palace. So he is not asking one question. How intelligently he is dealing with his guest. He is not asking one question and then you decide whom to, who will answer, you know. He asks nine questions. Now you have to answer. So in this way, he has enough opportunity to take association of each of them. He's not missing any of them. And he's not there to calculate who's the best and all those things. So 9 questions, you answer. So 9 sages have come together and they have answered the 9 questions. So this is how the combination is happening here, where Nimi is also expertly handling his guest. In fact, it is mentioned that Nimi Maharaj, he did not take much interest in welcoming them and also making them sit and bathing and all those. He decides that these people have come by their own accord, and when they will go, we do not know. So why waste time in a reception and this and that immediately? So I was hearing Gauranga was mentioning that, like, you know, when you are very sick and doctor is there, you know, you go to doctor, you don't ask him, doctor, kaisa hai aapka, dhanda pani kaisa chal raha hai. You're sick, immediately you ask, you know, doctor, I'm sick, give me medicine. So Nimi Maharaj felt, you know, doctors have come, I am sick, immediately let me ask, you know, let me not wait for all those large formalities. Whatever is bare minimum, do it and start. So here is Nimi Maharaj and the Navayogindras. So we can find here, Navayogindras had traveled together. It's a unique combination. 9 great devotees traveled together. We also have 4 Kumaras traveling together. But we also have Narad Muni traveling alone. So it's unique. As per their chemistry or their requirement, they travel. So if 9 people come to your house, someone may think, oh, my house is so fortunate, you know. I am so fortunate, I am so qualified, 9 people have come to my house. Like, for example, one devotee asked, in a question was asked in Bhagavatam class, that we often hear 4 Kumaras going to some devotee's house. That means devotee is so fortunate, Nimi Maharaj having 9 Yogindras. So you find Kali Yuga, rest of the Yugas only one Lord comes, no? But in this Kali Yuga, 5, same Lord has appeared in 5 features, Pancha Tattva. Does it mean that we are very greatly qualified or very fortunate? Now when 9 people come or 4 people come, there can be 2 reasons. One is that person is highly qualified, or that person is actually very fallen. So when 5 Panchatattva have come in the age of Kali Yuga, it is not that we are qualified or we are very fortunate people from. It is to create our fortune. So this devotee answered very nicely, mentioned that actually when someone comes in large number in your house, it is not your greatness, it is their greatness that they are very much merciful to you. And then he mentioned a very unique example that for example, if you want to feed medicine to a horse, it requires 5 people. 2 persons, they handle the 4 legs. 1 person catches the neck. 1 person opens the mouth. And a 5th person administers the medicine. So Kali Yuga is so degraded that Lord appears in 5 features because it's difficult to deal. One Lord thinks, let me come in 5, you know, and then handle these fallen souls in Kali Yuga. So here you find that how a wonderful series of question answers are happening here between, it's going to happen between Nimi Maharaj and Navayogendras. And the one best part which is here is that Prabhupada mentions in later purports, in previous purports, and the disciples of Prabhupada quoting here, that generally a person goes to a holy place to associate with holy place. But when a holy place comes to your house, it is all the more better. Why does someone goes to a holy place? To get purified. The vibrations are so strong. Recently we had a chance to go to Dwarka. And then one particular day, it was just traveling and only traveling. Traveling, getting down, going to temple, coming back, sitting in the bus, just traveling. And all the devotees mentioned, Prabhuji, anand nahi aaya kuch. It was just traveling only. We want to hear about the holy place. And that's the point. When we go to a holy place, if you want to make it a yatra and not a tour, there should be hearing from holy devotees in that yatra. Otherwise, it's a tour package, and you just go, you see from your eyes, come back. But actually, seeing is not from eyes, from the ears. So holy place, when we go there, we associate with great devotees there, hear from them, and then we know. We may go to a temple, ring the bell, and the first temple we visit, we may feel very lot of emotions, bhakti. Just imagine throughout the day, 20 temple visit, every time it becomes mechanical, offering the dandavat, and then seeing the Lord, praying and moving out. But when you know who that Lord, what pastime is there in that place, immediately that place becomes very special. So in this case, the holy place, people go to holy place to hear. That's the style of going to holy place. Go to holy place and hear from great devotees. Prabhupada says one should not go to holy place just to take bath. Just to take bath and sing temples. One should go to holy place to hear from great devotees. Because the holy place are rendered more holy by the holy devotees. In fact, it is mentioned the holy place get contaminated by because people come there and deposit their sins. But the holy people staying in the holy place, they eradicate the sins of the holy places. So they are the more important people there. So, Srila Prabhupada is such a holy person that he knows that in this age of Kali Yuga, people will not come to holy places. So he got holy places in different locations. He made the ISKCON temple. It's a holy place. Can you imagine a holy place in Mumbai city? Now we have four holy places. ISKCON Juhu, ISKCON Mira Road, ISKCON Chopati, and ISKCON Khargar. Of course there are so many holy places, small centers are also there. Every devotee has their house, we have bases. So many holy places are there. But why? Because Prabhupada indigenously created this holy place next to our locality. So that we go to this holy place. But problem in Kali Yuga is that we do not want to go to the holy place which is available close to us. This is laziness. Therefore, manda sumanda matayor manda bhagya hi upadrita. Even if opportunity is there, that opportunity is not taken. So Prabhupada says, you know, if you want to go to a holy place, don't just go take bath. Or someone comes to temple, modern understanding of just taking bath. If someone comes to the temple and just goes to Govindas and takes prasad and goes away, of course that is also good. But still, the best part is to come to temple up and take darshan. And the most best is what? When someone sits and associates with devotees and takes part in kirtan, takes part in katha, that is the best use of coming to a holy place. Now, the most important thing is, the great devotees of the Lord who are holy place personified, they don't wait for people to come to holy places. They go and make people holy. So it is our great fortune that Srila Prabhupada, he was in Vrindavan, in Seva Kunj, the place where that whole domain where Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani and all the gopis perform Rasa Leela. From that place, Srila Prabhupada went to New York City, Bowery. What a contrast. And there, he began to give Vrindavan's association, Krishna's association to everyone. And from there, he began his movement. And then he said, then he carried Vrindavan and he replicated Vrindavan all over the world. That was Srila Prabhupada. That is the potency of a holy place personified. So Prabhupada went and he preached and he purified the entire world and gave opportunity for all, everyone, wherever they are, to become more Krishna conscious. One time there's one devotee who was from London, he was mentioning this nice incident that he happened to meet a very important, very famous kathakar, a very famous reciter, who had gone to London for a Ram Katha. It's a very famous Ram Kathakar in India. Not mention his name, but very, very famous. And he went to give Ram Katha in London, and the organization had invited this Vaishnava, who is also Vaishnava. So they also invited ISKCON to come and be in part of Ram Katha. So they had good relationship with the other organizations. ISKCON has good relationship. So ISKCON also thought, let us go. So one of the representatives of ISKCON went for the Ram Katha there. So then during the Ram Katha, everyone was introduced to this Kathakar. So as soon as this Kathakar saw ISKCON devotee, he called him, please come. He said, I am really very much proud that we had someone like Prabhupada in India. So he started glorifying Srila Prabhupada. And then he told, your Prabhupada is not an ordinary person. He is really holy place personified. Why? Because he went all over the world and preached, which no one has done. And then he gave his own example. Now he is already a big kathakar. In front of him so many people are standing, you know. And he is mentioning, when I come to London or go out of India, I am very much concerned about my spiritual life. I should not be contaminated. because I am going to Paschatya Desh, Western country, where sense gratification is predominantly seen. So when I come from India to London, he mentioned, I carry with me a big jar of Ganga Jal, Ganga water. And then when I come to India, when I come to London, when I stay here, if someone gives me water, I put one drop of Ganga water in it and then drink to purify the water first. Even when the water which I take bath, I put one drop of Ganga water and then take bath. This I do for every drop of water which I take in my body. Even for food also, Ganga water first, purify. And then he mentioned, after 9 days of my katha, I take 1 day Maun Vrat, no talking with anyone to purify myself. So this is what I do to keep myself pure. But your Srila Prabhupada, he did not carry any Ganga Jal. He did not do any Maun Vrat. And he was not going to a very aristocratic place where people were arranging katha for him. He went directly to a place where people of the lowest category, who were like drunkards, hippies, were staying. And he went and made them devotees. So this is Prabhupada. He is a holy place personified. So this is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. By his mercy, we have got this great movement. So now when great Vaishnavas come in our life, we should not spend time, we should spend time very, very, very accurately with them. Like for example, Nimi Maharaj is spending time by immediately asking about queries. So here we see that how questions and answers are going to start. And these questions are relevant in every devotee's life. And in fact, Bhagavatam is full of question and answers. Every scripture which we have is full of questions and answers. How Bhagavad Gita has come? Arjuna's question. And Krishna answered. Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj's question, Sukhdev Goswami gives the answer. And within that question answer, there is questions of Vidura to Maitreya, questions of Devahuti Mata to Kapila Muni, and so many other questions. The whole Bhagavatam is full of question answers, which says that how when we come across great Vaishnavas, we should utilize the time which we have got with the devotees by inquiring. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. One devotee was mentioning, we always do Jigyasa, but our Jigyasa is not Athato Brahma Jigyasa, but it's Athato Bhayankar Jigyasa. Something else we ask, you know. Like one person came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, why you came late to America? This is not a question to ask Prabhupada, why you came late to America? So Prabhupada also said, oh, I came late because I was waiting for you to take birth. This is not a good question to ask to Prabhupada, but some other. So many questions can be irrelevant and be asked, you know. So like one person was there in one class and he was asking a question. Prabhu, what is the difference between Kali Yuga and Maya? Odd question. So was a technical question or irrelevant question, I don't know. But the devotee answered, see, whatever it may be, Kali Yuga and Maya both are in material world. We have to get out of the material world. That's important. So he was giving a generic answer. But again he was, but still, what is the difference between Kali Yuga and Maya? So this devotee knew what to do. So he immediately answered, only difference is gender. Kali Purush Maya Devi. So such kinds of questions are like, you know, not to be asked to great devotees. One time Srila Prabhupada was sitting and he was in Calcutta. And one Tarun Kanti Ghosh, who was a famous editor of a famous newspaper, magazine, Amar Patrika. So he came. He also happened to be Prabhupada's very distant relative. So he had a little kind of very very formal with Prabhupada. So he said, Prabhupada, I just came. I met one yogi. And this yogi created one apple and gave it to me. Isn't it amazing, Srila Prabhupada? So Prabhupada said, not important. Said, but Prabhupada, can you imagine, he created one apple. You know, just kind of pushing Prabhupada that you should solicit this, you know, it's such a wonderful, best thing he has done, you know. So Prabhupada immediately said, what is amazing about that, you know? I have done something more amazing than that. Prabhupada said, I went and preached Krishna consciousness all over the world. After preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, now everywhere in the world, I have got 108 temples. And each of the 108 temples, we have deities. And there are pujaris. And every day, though 108 pujaris, they offer apple to deities. And Prabhupada said, isn't that amazing? that sitting here in Calcutta, I have 108 temples all over the world, 108 apples being offered all over the world doing bhoga offering. That is more amazing than the apple created by a yogi. So this is the idea which Prabhupada is trying to give us, that questions and answers have to be relevant in a devotee's life. That's how we approach. This section begins in a wonderful way. As we go ahead in our time, we'll see that all these 9 questions will be answered. In fact, these 9 questions are not just in Bhagavatam 11th canto. They have been often quoted in many places in Bhagavatam. In fact, this section of one particular series of verses, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes to Rupa Goswami in Dashashwamedha Ghat. And the same question is also repeated in many other sections of Bhagavatam. So the series of verses which we see here is actually a very powerful, very wonderful series which we are going to go through as we move ahead in our Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll end our class here. A brief recap of what we did today was, we spoke about the descendants of Rishabhdev Maharaj. We spoke about how the family life is not important. Krishna consciousness is important. Rishabhdev, he had a great family. He had 100 sons. Dhritarashtra also has 100 sons. But one family was Krishna conscious, one family was materialistic. And in Rishabhdev's family, we saw how Rishabhdev himself was an ideal father, ideal king. And he gave wonderful instructions to his son before he retired. And in his dynasty, we have Bharat Maharaj. And the fifth canto, in the fifth canto, we have the 81 description of the 81 sons, Brahmanas. And the 11th canto describes the Nava Yogendras. Then we discuss about Nimi Maharaj, how great Vaishnava he was, how he left his body. And here Nimi Maharaj is receiving the 9 great sages in his house, how the interaction between a grahastha and a vairagis have to be there. Both are interdependent on each other. And here we can see that how relevant questions and relevant answers are asked. So we'll end our class here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. I have to leave to some place, so we will not take questions. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, there is an announcement. Next Sunday, that is 9th of April, 17, there will be a Varishta Vaishnava.